It seems how my prayer life is sometimes, is just kind of having a conversation with the Lord. And I just remember the moment as clear as day. I was just walking down toward our parking lot outside, and I said, "Lord, what do you want to speak to me? Or, sorry, what would you like me to speak about this week?" And immediately the response is, "What's on my heart is what's been on your heart. What's on my heart is what's on your heart." And so I backed up. Well, what's been on my heart lately? And what the Lord has been speaking to me about, and part of it has come through some teaching that I've been listening to by a fellow named Dr. Dean Radke. But one of the things that the Lord has been speaking to me about a lot this week is just spending time with the Lord, personal time with the Lord, just spending time in prayer, waiting on the Lord, and just this personal time and intimacy with the Lord. And so that's what I want to speak to you guys about. And I know you're thinking, wow, we know about this. We've heard about this. But I believe that there's some principles here, and there's something that I'm hoping that you'll catch, and that'll light a fire inside you. And so it's this aspect of relationship, putting Jesus first, spending time with the Lord, prioritizing my relationship with Jesus, and prioritizing your relationship with Jesus about everything else, above everything else in our lives. We talk about all kinds of things at church, don't we? Last week, Dad talked about prayer and praise, and the week before that, I talked about restoration, that we serve a God who's the restorer, the God who loves to bring restoration in our lives. And the week before that, I think, was July the 1st, Canada Day, and so we talked about the Dominion of Canada and how we stand on guard as believers to see the righteous foundations of our nation be restored and be reestablished, and what it means to be a dominion, and how God is calling us to bring heaven down to earth as it relates to our nation and our country. And so, you know, those are recent things that we've talked about. But we talk about, I have a list here, we talk about, you know, the love of God, we talk about faith, we talk about grace, we talk about the new covenant and the blessing. This year we've talked a lot about the Holy Spirit, we talked about the gifts of the Spirit. We started off this year talking a lot about the glory of God, His power, His presence, and His goodness, and pursuing the glory of God and what the glory of God accomplishes in our lives. And so there's lots of different things that we talk about, and these are all vital truths. These are all things that we want to get a hold of, and it's important to have revelation on these things in our lives. Every year we want to hit the core truths of God's Word. What are the core things that it's just really essential for us to have an understanding of and be implementing in our lives and have revelation on? And yet it's possible to get so focused on some of those things and ignore the thing that is, you know, more important than any of those things, and that's just simply relationship with Jesus. Relationship with Jesus. We can get so focused on, well, how do I develop my faith? Or how do I figure out grace? Or what, and some of these things, and we can get focused to the point where we're not thinking and we're not prioritizing our relationship with Jesus above everything else. And, you know, when we're thinking about our own situation, at least this is, you know, I'm a little bit of an analytical mindset. And so when I'm thinking about my life and maybe some of the challenges that are facing me, some of the things that I see in front of me, I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to think about it. What do I need to do in that situation? Or if it's something, maybe it's a behavior that God's revealed in my life that I need to fix, or I need to grow in this area. And so I'm thinking about that and praying about that, and I want to get better in this area and have more of a godly response in this area and be more of a godly example in this area. And I can get, at least for myself, I can get so focused in those things that sometimes I'm just, again, forgetting about Jesus and spending time with Jesus and not placing the same priority and importance on that. I preached earlier this year about how our actions are derived from our beliefs. Actions come out of our beliefs. So what we believe, that's how we're going to act. And that's true. It's true that the right believing will create right behaviors. But there's something that comes first before believing, and that's relationship. We have to have relationship with Jesus. And that relationship, that's the very first thing. We can't have right believing if we don't have a right relationship. And so I just want to remind you guys today, and that's really what I'm going to talk about today, is it all comes back to relationship. Relationship with Jesus is first. I have a few examples of how we can slide into a little bit of a ditch in this thinking. And it's easy for me as a pastor, for example, because I can get focused on behaviors of people in the church, for example, right? I can say, wow, man, I wish this situation was a little bit different, or I wish I could work with this individual in a certain way. And it's common as a pastor to think that way. And so you can, if we're not careful, if we're not led by the Holy Spirit, we can focus on behaviors more than relationship, right? As a pastor, my primary concern should not be why are these people not coming to church? It should be, what's their relationship with Jesus like? How are things spiritually with them? You know, what's God been speaking to them about? It's a constant challenge for me to be thinking that way. But it's not just my relationship with you as people in this congregation. This can be us as parents as well too. If you're a parent, you can probably recognize this dynamic, is that it's possible to focus on behaviors with our children, right? And we're thinking about our children, we're thinking, man, I wish I could fix that. I wish I could, you know, and there's a focus on the behavior rather than a relationship. But if we have a right relationship, then right believing can follow, right on behalf of the parent and the child, and then right behaviors will come out of that. But it is human nature to focus on their performance, to focus on the behavior rather than the relationship. It's really common. As spouses, we do this as well, right? We can be focused on each other's behavior rather than, you know, spending time getting to the heart of the matter, spending time just being intimate with each other. And this is something that Candace and I have to work on all the time, right? Because it's just so easy to say, that thing you do just bothers me, whatever, you know, and get so focused on a behavior, and I can do that, and Candace can do that, rather than what's God's been speaking to you? What's important in your life right now? What are the things that you'd like to see us work on in our marriage, or what are just the things, just the important things, the deep things of life? And so this is something that Candace and I work on, and I was actually blessed. I don't believe I told you guys this story, and it's just a short little example. But I was blessed a few weeks back, and Candace and I had a free date night. We went to Madoko. I might have shared this. And Candace says, we're going to go eat at Madoko, but there's a rule. She says, we can't talk about church, we can't talk about kids, and we can't talk about insurance or renovations. And I remember thinking, well, what are we going to talk about? And it was hard. We're there, right? I mean, if you've been to Madoko, it's not like A&W. You were in and out in 15 minutes, right? It's like you get in there and they wait for a while and you make your order and then a piece of bread comes and then 20 minutes later some salad comes and 20 minutes after that some soup comes and, you know, and then finally you're like, where's the meat, you know? And it's like 20 minutes later that, I mean, I enjoy it. We really enjoy it. But you have time to talk when you go for supper at Madoko, right? And so, but it was good, right? And I'm not going to say that we didn't follow our rules. You know, we caught ourselves a few times. We had to backtrack and say, oh, we got to stop talking about that. But, you know, it was good because it was an intentional effort on my wife's part to make sure that we were talking about the things that really matter. Not that church doesn't matter, not that our kids don't matter, and not that, you know, not that our household doesn't matter, but what really matters is our relationship, and how are you doing, and how am I doing, and talk about those deep things in life. And it's so easy in the busyness of life just to get caught up in the things that are swirling around. Most of you, your life is just, if it's anything like mine, there's lots going on, and it's just so easy to get caught up in those things and just stay relating on a superficial level with each other than the important things. And that is a direct parallel to our relationship with Jesus, because we can get so caught up in the things that are going on that even if we're spending time with Jesus, our focus is those superficial things, that those things that are swirling around in the atmosphere around our lives, rather than the deep things of Jesus, rather than the intimate things of Jesus, rather than spending time with Jesus, and asking how he's doing, how he's feeling about us. What does he want to say about us? And then telling him our deepest thoughts and our deepest feelings as well. And King David is someone that I've been thinking a lot about for quite a few months, but even more so lately, because I've been reading some stories, making my way through a few books of the Bible, but the book of 1 Samuel is one of the books that I'm in right now. And the Bible plan I'm on is one that has taken scriptures from a few different books of the Bible each day. And so I'm reading stories from King David's life in the book of 1 Samuel, and then I'm also each day reading some of his diaries, some of the things that he wrote during those experiences in his life from the book of Psalms. And if you go through, you know, if you can read the things that are happening in David's life, and then you read some of the Psalms, it's clear that in some of those dark and trying and desperate times, that's when he was writing some of these Psalms, some of these diaries, and his conversations and talks that he was having with the Lord. That's what he was writing when he was in these caves, hiding from Saul when Saul was trying to hunt him down. And so you can, you know, you can read this story, and then it's just like now you're getting a first-hand account. Well, how was David feeling during this time, and what was his prayer life like during these desperate times when his life was truly in danger? And it's been really awesome to read the stories and then read what is he thinking? How was he praying? How was he talking to God during this time? Here's an example from Psalms 27. We're going to spend a little bit of time in Psalms 27. I'm going to read this from the New Living. Hear me as I pray, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, I'm coming. David is an example of someone. We're going to talk about David. We're going to talk about Jesus this morning. But David was an example of someone that he always prioritized time with the Lord, time in God's presence. How do we know that? Well, that was from Psalms 27. I want to go back to the first part of Psalms 27. We're actually going to read the whole thing. It's not a long psalm. But this is some of David's writings were just beautiful. He was a writer. He was very poetic. And so some of his writings just really stick out in the imagery and the beauty. And this is one that I really enjoy reading, Psalms 27. Some of the phrases will be really familiar to you guys. Now, I'm reading it from the New Living Translation, so probably if you're reading it in the King James or the New King James, it would seem even a little bit more familiar. But I really enjoy reading this psalm. And, you can just get a sense of David having a conversation with the Lord and some of the things that he's been speaking to the Lord about as he writes these words. Verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I'm attacked, I will remain confident. The one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. For he will conceal me there when troubles come. He will hide me in his sanctuary. He will place me out of reach on a high rock. Then I will hold my head high above my enemies who surround me. At his sanctuary, I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing and praising the Lord with music. Hear me as I pray, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me. The verses we just read, my heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I'm coming. Do not turn your back on me. Do not reject your servant in anger. You have always been my helper. Don't leave me now. Don't abandon me, O God of my salvation. Even if my mother and father abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. Teach me how to live, O Lord. Lead me along the right path. For my enemies are waiting for me. Do not let me fall into their hands, for they accuse me of things I've never done. With every breath, they threaten me with violence. Yet I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. And I believe that one of the keys to David's success is found in verse 4 in the first part of that chapter. I want to read it to you from the Passion Translation now. And here's what David says. Here is the one thing I crave from God, the one thing I seek above all else. I want the privilege of living with him every moment in his house, finding the sweet loveliness of his face, filled with awe, delighting in his glory and grace. I want to live my life so close to him that he takes pleasure in my every prayer. David had a revelation that God delighted in spending time with him. David understood that it wasn't, he obviously enjoyed spending time in God's presence because he says, this is the one thing, if there's one thing that I have to pick, that I want to do, that it's my heart's desire to do, God, it's to spend time in your presence, it's to spend time talking with you and just marveling at how good you are and aspects of your character and your nature that you reveal to me. But David had a revelation that the Lord also delighted in having David do that and having David spend time with him that way. And I want you guys to realize this, that God gets excited when you're willing to spend time with him. He delights when you spend time in his presence. Just being real, just being who you are. When there was no sin on the earth, the Bible says that God physically walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. We know that if you read Genesis, God just loved coming down. He was able to do that because that was his perfect creation before sin entered the world, before the fall of man. And he just spent time with Adam and Eve. His presence spent time with Adam and Eve, just talking with them, having conversations with them. God delighted to do that. He enjoyed that. And of course, it was amazing for Adam and Eve as well. Do you know that God is, he's still here, and he still desires and he still delights in spending time with his people? It happens differently now. It happens through his Holy Spirit, right? We don't see something in the physical. We don't see something in the natural. But when God's speaking to us, he's doing it through his Holy Spirit. But it is still God speaking and still God delighting to spend time with his people. Zephaniah says, this is Zephaniah 3:17, "For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs." He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. You know, there's a time to come to the Lord with an agenda. There is a time for intercession. Intercession is when you have specific things in mind and you're just going to press in and you're going to intercede on those things where it's God's will for your life, and you're going to come to the Lord and you're confessing scriptures and you're believing for those things, and it's almost like you're on a spiritual mission to hear from the Lord, right? That's not so much what I'm talking about here today. I'm talking about coming to the Lord and spending time with no agenda. The only agenda is like Candace and myself going to Madoko just to spend time with each other, just to enjoy each other's presence. That's the essence of what I'm talking about today. Just, you know, it's not coming with the list of requests, but it's just spending time with the Lord and being real, being yourself. Now, it very well might involve you sharing some of the things on your heart that you're going through, right? If you're being real, you're going to, you know, if you're struggling, you're going to let the Lord know, "Well, Lord, here's how I'm feeling. Here's what's going on. Here's how I feel about you right now. Here's how I feel about my life and the situations I'm facing." But you're just going to share your heart. You're not going, you know, again, with this agenda in mind. It's just, the only agenda is to spend time in his presence. What did David call that? David called that waiting for the Lord. That's the English, the English translation, and that's what David just called it, waiting on the Lord. There's so many scriptures that talk about waiting on the Lord. I just picked two. Psalms 37:7 says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him." Psalms 135, "I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I do hope." When we wait for the Lord, what are we waiting for? When David says, "My heart hears your call, my heart is waiting for you," what are we waiting for? We're just waiting for the Lord to speak. We're waiting for the Lord to meet us. We're waiting for the Lord to minister to our spirits. We're waiting for the Lord to rejoice over us, to delight in us, and then we will be refreshed in the process, right? We're waiting to receive something from the Lord, letting God speak to us. Psalms 5:3 says, "Listen to my voice in the morning, Lord. Each morning I bring my request to you and wait expectantly." Each morning I bring my request to you and wait expectantly. This is an interesting verse, and I learned something actually as I was going through this verse, and I was reading some of the commentary in my Bible. And this verse in Aramaic reads, "At dawn I shall be ready, and I shall appear before you." And then the Hebrew translation of that can also be translated, "I'll be on the watchtower waiting for the answer to come." So the Aramaic can be translated as, "At dawn I shall be ready and shall appear before you," or "I'll be on the watchtower for the answer to come." And when I thought about that, this waiting on the watchtower, I don't know why, but I remembered a time when my brother and I, Kelly, were younger, and we were waiting for my grandparents to come and visit. And this actually wasn't when we were living in Swan River. We were actually living in Regina at the time. And my parents were kind of renting / house sitting a property outside of Regina in a place called White City. You probably drive through past White City every time. So it's not far from Regina, but it was a little acreage just outside of Regina. And there was a driveway there. And I remember we were so excited for Grandpa and Grandma to come. And as a kid, what do you do when you're excited? You're like looking out the window and you're peering out the door. And we were even running to the edge of the driveway, and because there was kind of a gravel road that, you know, our house, a couple gravel roads before it connected to the highway. And so we were looking down, you know, we're just excited. We were just, it's like we were waiting on the watchtower, waiting for Grandpa and Grandma to come. But here's the thing, and I this is weird, but we were so excited, at least for me. I remember when we saw Grandpa and Grandma come, and we couldn't contain ourselves. I went and hid. I was so excited, I just like ran back into my bedroom. I think I hid underneath my bunk bed or something like that. I was just so excited, I didn't know what to do, and so I just got to hide. And so Grandpa and Grandma, of course, had to come find us, and then it was all good, and we spent time together. But I just remember such an excitement, such an anticipation, it's, you know, waiting for my grandparents to come. And that's kind of the picture that David is trying to paint here, is that He's ready to meet with the Lord. He's excited to meet with the Lord. And he's on the watchtower, and he's looking, and he's expecting God's presence, and he's just looking so forward to that interaction, that time with the Lord. Now, that verse, this Psalms 5:3 in the Passion Translation, takes it a step deeper, because there's some inference there. The Aramaic translation, where it says, "At dawn I shall be ready and shall appear before you," here's how it's translated in the Passion Translation. It says, "At each and every sunrise you will hear my voice as I prepare my sacrifice of prayer to you. Every morning I lay out the pieces of my life on the altar and wait for your fire to fall upon my heart." What a beautiful verse. There's an inference in the Aramaic of this preparing oneself for a sacrifice, for the morning sacrifice. And of course, we know that in those times in the nation of Israel, there was a morning sacrifice and there was an evening sacrifice. And the word prepare is the word arak, and it's a priestly term for just lighting the fire that was on the altar and preparing the offering to be sacrificed and consumed by that fire. And so if we look at it this way, and keeping this picture of preparing the morning sacrifice to be consumed by fire, David is saying, "Lord, I am preparing to bring my heart before you. I am laying my heart out as an offering. It's my desire that my heart is consumed by your fire. Lord, I'm waiting for your fire." And so I really like how the author of the Passion Translation says, "Every morning I lay out the pieces of my life on the altar and wait for your fire to fall upon my heart." That's what happens when we spend time with God. When we lay out the pieces of our life and say, "Lord, I'm waiting for your fire. I'm waiting on the watchtower. I'm waiting for you to come and fill me up and do something in my life." Our heart is not the same. Our heart has changed. We're going to talk about that a little bit later, but we receive something in God's heart when our hearts are consumed by God's fire. Actually, there's three things that I feel the Lord highlighted to me about what happens when we wait on the Lord. When we wait in God's presence, when we spend time with Him. This is not a comprehensive list. I think we could come up with a lot more. But it's warm in here, and there's things happening later on today. So we're just going to talk about three. The first thing I want to talk about is the first thing that happens when we wait on the Lord is we receive strength. Now, it's not, I'm not talking physical strength. I'm not talking that when you spend time with the Lord, you can suddenly bench press more than you could before. It's strength for our day, strength to face those things in our life that we're facing, strength to live in a way that honors God, strength to live in a way that pleases God, that shows holiness, that shows right living, right thinking, right behavior in our life. Psalm 59:16 says, "But as for me, I will sing about your power. Each morning I will sing with joy about your unfailing love, for you have been my refuge, a place of safety when I'm in distress." So David recognizes that time spent with the Lord reassures him, gives him strength of mind, just a strength of assurance of God's safety and God's protection in his life. Psalms 27, this is a chapter later now. Again, really common words. "The Lord is my strength and shield. I trust him with all my heart. He helps me, and my heart is filled with joy. I burst out in songs of thanksgiving." You know, if we're facing difficult situations, but our response is that we're bursting out in thanksgiving, we're bursting out in songs of praise, that's strength. We've grabbed onto something. We've got a hold of something that's going to bring us through that situation. Amen? And that's the kind of strength that I want in my life. You know, I'm facing something that's challenging. I want to have that praise response that we heard about last week. But that comes by spending time in God's presence. That comes by putting relationship with Jesus first. And then we can have that kind of praise response that says, "Lord, I know you're going to come through for me." And we're excited to the point where we can't contain ourselves. And it's like me waiting for my grandparents. I'm so excited, I just got to go hide. And there's whatever your joyful, excited response is, that's what happens when you truly spend time with the Lord, waiting on the Lord. You know, Jesus as well had to go and spend time with the Father to receive strength. This is something that's interesting, because sometimes when we think about Jesus, one of the things that we're thinking about is the fact that he was fully divine, because he was the Son of God. Jesus is part of the Godhead, and even though when he was on the earth he was fully man, he was still fully God. He wasn't just man, but he was fully God and fully man. But he needed to go and get filled up. He needed to receive strength from the Father. Luke 5:15 says, but despite Jesus' instructions, the report of his power spread even faster, and vast crowds came to hear him preach and to be healed of their diseases. Verse 16, but Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. So people were hearing about the amazing things that he was doing, and his ministry was taking off. There was reports going here. There was testimonies. People knew something was happening. There was a great draw in his life. But Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. And Mark, here's one example of one of those times that happened. This is in Mark 1:35. Before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. Later, Simon and the others went out to find him. When they found him, they said, everyone's looking for you. Jesus, everyone's looking for you. Where'd you go? What are you doing? They didn't quite have this understanding that he needed to get away. He needed to spend time with the Father for strength. Jesus was constantly ministering, right? Because there was, I've often thought about this. Why did Jesus say, don't tell everyone about this miracle? Or sometimes you'd heal someone and he would say, just don't keep it to yourself. Why was that? And there's been times where I kind of struggle with that. But, I've come over time to have a revelation that Jesus knew first and foremost that he had to accomplish his primary mission, the primary thing he was sent to. And that was to do the work of his Father. That was to, in the end, give up his life as a sacrifice for many. He had to accomplish that above all else. And right below that was he had to invest his time. He had 3 years to invest his time in the life of 12 men, 12 disciples. And he had 3 years to put everything that the Father had shown him, everything that the Father had revealed him. He had 3 years to train them up and raise them up, because then he was gone. And they had to carry on his work. And so that was his primary mission. When a need was able to come to Jesus, he met that need. But he knew that he was one man in one place at one time. And he wasn't able to meet every need in the nation of Israel. He wasn't able to heal every leper in the nation of Israel. He just did not have that kind of time. And that wasn't his primary mission. So he had to go and receive strength from the Lord to accomplish his primary mission. And if we're going to accomplish everything that God's called us to do, if we're going to accomplish our primary mission in life and those things, we need to get filled up as well. We can't run an empty. If Jesus, who is fully man and fully God, couldn't run an empty, man, you and I, we can't go days, we can't go weeks, we can't go months without spending time in God's presence, without spending time in fellowship and communion with him. Because if we do, we're going to have nothing left to give. Eventually, if Jesus wasn't spending time with the Father, if he wasn't getting away, if he wasn't getting filled up, letting angels minister to him, letting the Holy Spirit minister to him, he would have dried up. There would have come a point where he would have had nothing left to give. And we can get in that same place. And so it's so key. If Jesus needed time with the Father, man, you and I, we need time with the Father. We need to get filled up. We need to be in communion with Jesus and let him rejoice over us, letting him minister to us, letting our spirits get renewed and revived in his presence. Second thing, when we wait in the Lord, we receive clarity. This is a big one for me, clarity. I have all kinds of things in my life that I'm looking to receive clarity on. I don't know about you, but I just have situations in my life where the path is not always clear. The process, usually we know the goal, right? Usually we know where the end point. Usually we know, well, that's where I want to be. That's how I want this situation to look. That's how I want this project to look. That's how I'd like this relationship to be. So usually we have the goal in mind. And typically, if you have an imagination and some creativity and you're inspired, you can see the end. You have a picture. But it's often clarity on the process. It's clarity on the steps. How do we get there? How do we grow this in this way? How do I increase in this relationship? How do I, it's just wondering. And so this aspect of receiving clarity from the Lord, man, I've been blessed so many times just in God's presence, getting clarity, just letting him speak. Oftentimes, again, it's not even coming to him with a request about that situation. Some of the times when the Lord has, and this is just personal experience, but sometimes when the Lord has spoken the most clearly to me about a situation was when I wasn't coming to him, seeking him about that situation at all. I was just coming. I just set aside the time. Lord, I'm just going to spend time in your presence. I'm going to speak to you. Let's just visit. Let's just chat. Lord, let me just worship you. And you do that, and all of a sudden, boom, the truth just drops. And he speaks to you about a situation, and you're like, you know he's spoken, because that wasn't even on your mind. You weren't going there for that purpose. That wasn't on your agenda, a list of agenda items. But he brings clarity. Has anyone else experienced that in your life? Anyone else know what I'm talking about? There's a few of you, right? Isn't that special when that happens? Man, when that happens, I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the clarity that you bring me. And there's just something really neat about spending time in his presence, waiting for him to speak, and then knowing exactly what to do. Again, in Psalms 27, here's an example of clarity from that chapter that we read. Teach me how to live, O Lord. Lead me along the right path, for my enemies are waiting for me. Do not let me fall into their hands, for they accuse me of things I've never done. With every breath, they threaten me with violence. We need the right path in life, because there's a right path and there's a wrong path, and we have an adversary and we have the devil and quite honestly, demonic forces and demonic spirits that would try and influence us along the right path or to make the wrong decision. So we need to be led on the right path and make the right decisions so we get the right results, so we get the right fruit in our lives. And so David was so keenly aware of that. Because there was times, like, you know, for example, I talked earlier about when Saul was trying to chase him. There was a time when there's a mountain, Saul's on one side and David's on the other. And what, you know, I don't know how many of you guys, as a kid, you'd play play tag and you're running around some sort of object trying to catch each other, whether it's like a trampoline or. When I was a kid, we used to run around my grandpa's pool table. That was a thing in his basement. He had this pool table, and we would chase each other around this pool table. But, you know, if my brother Kelly is on one side of the pool table and I'm on the other, you're trying to trick him as to what way you're going to go, right? So you're going to faint this way, and so he runs that way, and then you quickly reverse paths, and you're trying to catch him there. It was important for David to go the right way because Saul's on one side of the mountain, and he's on the other, and if they both, you know, they don't want to meet. David doesn't want to meet Saul. David's got 600 men. The Bible says Saul had 3,000 elite troops, right? And so David, it was important that the Lord directed his steps and told him the right way to go so he could escape his adversary. He was so reliant on the Lord to speak to him. And, you know, for us, our situations often aren't that literal. Hopefully you're not, you know, you don't have someone who's trying to kill you on the other side of a mountain or a hill. But there's still important things in our lives, important decisions that we need to make. There's paths that the Lord has for us. And it's possible to get into a ditch, or it's possible to make the wrong turn. It's possible to make a wrong decision that could give us the result that we're not looking for and give us the fruit that we're not looking for in that situation or that relationship. We don't want to head down a wrong path. So clarity is so vital in our lives. As I was writing this, I was reminded of a hymn, and I don't often think about hymns, but this hymn came to my mind. And I just want to read you the first four lines of What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Probably everyone is familiar with that hymn. Most of you, it says, What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit, of what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Clarity brings peace. And when we don't have clarity, we often forfeit peace in our life. That peace could be there. That peace is there for that taking. That clarity is there for that taking. But we have to go to God in prayer to get that clarity, to get that peace. And if we don't do that, what is the result? Well, this song says it's just needless pain. Sometimes we bear needless pain, pain that we didn't need to experience, pain that we didn't need to go through because we didn't go to God for clarity. We didn't go for God for peace. And so I just encourage you, this is such a big thing. Go to God for clarity in that situation. Don't rely on your own understanding. Psalm 119:130 says, Break open your word within me until revelation light shines out. Those with open hearts are given insight into your plans. You can pray this. When you go to the Lord, say, Break open your word within me. Lord, reveal your hidden plans. God's plans are not hidden from you. They're hidden for you. So you say, Lord, break open your secret plans, your desires for me. Reveal them to me. Give me clarity so I can make the right choice, so I can have insight into what you want for me. The last thing, and we touched on this earlier, when we wait on the Lord, we get to know his heart. We get to know His heart. His heart becomes our heart. That's maybe a strange phrase for some of you. You know, you're thinking, what does it mean to get to know someone's heart? Well, when you know someone's heart, you know what they're really like. You know how they think. You know what motivates them. You know what excites them. You know the things that they're believing for. You know what they're looking forward to in life, right? You know how they would act in a certain situation. And the only way that you can get to know someone's heart is through close relationship, right? Can you get to know someone's heart from a distance? You can't. You have to be in relationship with them. You have to spend time with them. You have to. There has to be interaction. There has to be a back and forth. It happens through relationship. Once you know someone, once you know their heart, though, you can represent them really well. Is that not true? Because I know my wife well, because I know her heart, and I've spent now close to over 2 decades knowing her, I can represent her. So if someone comes to me and says, well, this is what I believe about Candace, I can say, yeah, you're right. That's exactly what she's like. Or I can say, well, you know what? I actually know her a little bit better than you do, and I know that she doesn't think that way. And she wouldn't think that way about you or this situation. Why is that? Because I know her heart. I have a relationship with her. I understand her. I know what makes her tick. I know how she responds to situations. And it's important for us to know Jesus and to know His heart, because guess what? We're called to represent Him. There's times in your life when you're going to be able, you know, there's a demand. You need to represent Jesus. Someone wants to know about Jesus, or they're telling you what they think about Jesus. And you're going to be able to either be able to agree with them, or you're going to have to say, you know what? I respect your opinion, but I know Him. I know His heart. I've spent time with Him. In fact, we talk every day. And that's not what He's like. He's not like that at all. That might be your experience, but let me assure you, that is not what He's like. And the only way that you can do that is by a relationship with Jesus and taking the time to know His heart and get His heart inside of you so you can represent Him accurately. Jesus did this. The Bible says He was a faithful witness before those of us on the earth. Before Pontius Pilate, He was a faithful witness. John 18 says, Pilate said, "So are you a king?" Jesus responded, "You say I'm a king. Actually, I was born and I came into the world to testify the truth. All who love the truth recognize that what I say is true." Jesus was able to say, "What I say is true." Why was He able to look Pontius Pilate in the eye and say that with such confidence? Because He was there's a scripture in Revelation that says He was a faithful witness. He spent time with the Father. He knew the Father's hearts. All those times when Jesus was withdrawing and going away, or all the 30 years that had transpired in His life before He was released into ministry, He spent time to know the Father. He spent time to know the Father's heart. And so He was able to speak the truth about God the Father with total accuracy. Never a word spoken incorrectly. Never a word spoken out of context. Never a word was misrepresented when He spoke about the Father, because He knew the Father's heart. And Jesus' thoughts and words reflected the relationship that He had with God the Father. In John 14, He says, "I'm in the Father, and the Father's in me." And here's another verse in John 5:19 that came to my mind. So Jesus explained, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by Himself. He does only what He sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son does also." Now Jesus is talking about Himself in the third person. That's the way He had this particular conversation. So He's referring to Himself, the Son. "For the Father loves the Son and shows Him everything He's doing. In fact, the Father will show Him how to do even greater works than healing this man. Then you'll be truly astonished." Because Jesus had spent time with the Father, He knew exactly what the Father wanted Him to do. God the Father had revealed His heart to Jesus, and He had said, "Jesus, do this. Say this, take this action in this situation, teach this to your disciples, go minister here, and Jesus was just completely, completely dependent and completely obedient to what the Father was showing Him. The only reason He could do that is because He was spending time with the Father, and He knew the Father's heart. Acts 13:22 says, "After removing Him, God raised up a king, God raised up David to be king, for God said of him, 'I have found in David, son of Jesse, a man who always pursues my heart and will accomplish all I've destined him to do. So we have this picture of David hundreds of years before Jesus as a prophetic representation of Jesus. David was a man after God's heart, the word says. And so David because he pursued God and because he had such a strong pursuit of God, he was like Jesus in that sense that he took the time to know God's heart. And then like Jesus, David was able to accomplish all he was destined to do, right? Jesus was focused on his mission. He was absolutely determined. He was going to accomplish everything that God had for him. And David was the same way. And so this verse in Acts says, God knew, this is my choice. I'm going to anoint David as my king over Israel. I'm going to remove Saul, and David's going to be established because he's a man after my own heart. He pursues me with everything he's got. He delights to be in my presence. And in fact, if there's one thing that he could do for the rest of his life, that's what he would pick. He'd be spend time in my presence, spend time talking with me, spend time just being real with me. And because David's like that, because he pursues me in my presence and he pursues my heart, I know he's going to accomplish everything that I have for him to do. Everything that I want him to do, he's going to listen and obey, and he's going to do it. Isn't that awesome? That stirs me when I read those verses and I understand that this is what motivated David. This is what behind, you know, this was a, you know, David wasn't just operating out of his intellect. He wasn't saying, well, what am I going to do today? Where should I go make a raid? Or what event should I plan? Or what, you know, he was going to God first thing in the morning and saying, Lord, I'm going to get before you. I'm going to get into your presence. And I'm going to wait on the Lord. I'm going to wait and see, what do you want to tell me today? What are the specific things today that you want me to do? And Lord, light my heart. Give me a fire. Give me a passion for your presence so that I have something to give. So that when I'm called to minister, when I'm called to have an outflow out of my life into someone else, that there's something there to give, that I'm not running on empty. He would go get filled up and go get on fire. You go ahead and we're going to close, Nathan, so you can go ahead and just put some background music on. But I just want to encourage you today. I'm done here. Like I said, I'm not going to be long today. But those three things, this ability to get strength in God's presence as we wait on the Lord, the ability to get clarity for the things that we need clarity on in our lives, and then the opportunity to get God's heart, to know God's heart, these are things that happen when we wait on the Lord. And so I just want to encourage you, you know, with those three things. Hopefully that's motivation enough. Hopefully there's something that stirs you. I know for myself, I would say I'm not a morning person. Is that true that Cam is not a morning person? I'm not. If I have the opportunity to stay up late and get something done and sleep in, I'll do it. But I can say with absolute confidence that the most special and precious times I've had with the Lord are when I've done like David and got up early. I might not have enjoyed the waking up process, but when I get time and get time in God's presence and go for a walk, or I love sitting in the living room with all the lights off and just enough light for maybe a small lamp for just me and my Bible. Just read God's word. The rest of the family is sleeping. Nothing's happening in the household yet. It's all quiet. Man, those are awesome times. Just so special. Like this last week, I had the opportunity to just go for a walk. And of course, I mean, early for me is 7 o'clock, and it's so bright out now at 7 o'clock. But there's something special about the dawn, about the first part of the day. And here's the other thing, and this is just a practical thing, but your mind is so much clearer in the morning. You had a good rest, and you're so much sharper. You're just able to hear the Lord clear. And so I'm not saying don't spend time with the Lord later on in the day, but remember we talked about this aspect of first fruits and giving the Lord our best? I'm telling you, whether you're a morning person or not, the morning is your best. The morning is the best time where you're going to be able to get into God's presence and hear him, have him speak clearly for you. And it gives you strength for the day as well. It gives you that infilling in the day. It gives you some fire. It gives you some anointing. It gives you some clarity and some peace and some strength to meet those things that God's got for you that day. And so I'd encourage you, spend time in the evening. Great. Absolutely do that. But spend time in the morning as well. Get before the Lord the very first thing. Do it before you have a shower if you can. Like, just get in there and get in the Word. Spend time in God's presence, and He'll speak to you. He'll give you strength. He'll give you clarity. You'll get to know His heart, and it really will make a difference for you. It really will change the way you live and your spiritual relationship. If you put God first before faith and grace and the power of the believer and confessing God's Word and what, there's so many vital truths we teach. But just put Jesus first. Put your relationship with Jesus first. Those other things will fall into line. As you teach them, as you hear them, He'll reveal Himself to you. Those other things will take care of themselves if you purpose every day to put Jesus first in your life. Amen? Let's stand. We're done. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for truths from your word, Lord. Sometimes it seems so simple, and we've heard it so often that it can't be that important, Lord. But we know that this is key, this aspect of waiting before the Lord, getting into your presence, spending time with you for strength and clarity, and most of all, getting to know your heart, Lord. And so, I just declare, Lord, desire over this church, Lord. Lord, I declare that we're a church like David, Lord, that is eagerly anticipating the time that we get to spend with you, Lord. That we're eagerly, when we get up in the morning, Lord, that we're standing there, Lord, and we're like a person waiting on the watch post, waiting for the event to come, Lord, and that we're saying, Lord, my heart is hearing you call me, and my heart responds, like David, Lord, I will come. I will wait in your presence. I will wait to hear what you have to say to me. I will share the most intimate details of my life. I will share the most important things to you. I will share the secret things in my life with you, Lord. And then I will wait to hear those secret things that you want to share with me. Those important things that are on your heart. Those things that you're anxious to share with me. Those things that you're desiring to share with me, Lord. I purpose today, Lord, This is our cry, Lord. I purpose, and we purpose, Lord, to put you first, to give you the very best in the morning, the best of our time, Lord, when we're most mentally alert, Lord. We choose to set aside that time, Lord, to get strength, clarity, and to receive your heart, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the fruit that this is going to achieve in our lives, Lord. But we don't do it for the fruit, Lord. We do this as a response, Lord, because you are so worthy and you are so good, Lord. And, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you know, there's millions and billions of people on this earth, Lord, and yet for each person in this room, Lord, you delight to spend time with us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that when you get up, you're thinking about us, you're dreaming about us, you're thinking, I can't wait for that person to spend time with me. I sure hope that they take time to speak to me and let me share what's on my heart for them today, Lord. Lord, give us that perspective, Lord. Let us always have that. Let us always be thinking that way. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity, Lord. We thank you that you are, as we read this morning, that you are a God who lives among us. You are a God who desires to rejoice over us, Lord. We thank you that we serve a God who's alive. We serve a God who desires to manifest his power, his presence, and his goodness in our lives. We don't serve a God who's dead. We don't serve a God who has a heart of stone. But we serve a God whose heart is for us and who desires to bring goodness and blessing, peace, prosperity, abundance, health, wholeness in all areas, salvation for our souls, salvation for our spirits. Lord, you desire to bring all these things into our lives, Lord. And so we respond with faith and joy. In the name of Jesus, amen. Have a blessed week. Enjoy everything that the Lord has for you. Of course, if you need prayer for a relationship, anything in your body, anything that you're going through, just encourage you to come up. We'll stand. We'll pray the prayer of faith with you. Again, just a reminder, there's no coffee and snacks today, but you can take someone out for coffee, you can take them out for lunch, or you can visit here. Be blessed. Amen.